Our New Testament scripture reading comes from Revelation, continuing where we were last week in Revelation 14. We were in Revelation 13 last week, and now we're in Revelation 14. We'll read verses 1 through 13. So hear now the word of God from this letter of John to the seven churches. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000, who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb, and in their mouth no lie was found, for they are blameless. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water." Another angel, a second, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all nations drink the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality." And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day or night, these worshippers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name." Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." "Blessed indeed," says the Spirit, "that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." That's the word of the Lord. And just a few comments. The first five verses seem to be a scene in heaven after the judgment, whereas the rest of what I read there is a scene on earth before the judgment. Why things are not in chronological order, I don't know, but this is how John recorded it. And so these are two different times and two different places that are described. And in the scene in heaven after the judgment, we see the 144,000, and you might recall that number. It was given to us back in Revelation 7. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed. 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben. 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, and so on through the 12 tribes. And 12 times 12,000 is 144,000. And so that's where that number comes from. And you might recall Pastor Barnes saying back with regard to Revelation 7 that that number, 12,000 from each tribe, these are figurative things. It's not a literal, precise number of 144,000, although some have tried to enforce that kind of literal interpretation. It's representative of a very large number and a very complete number. Anyway, God's people are pictured here, the 144,000 who have not worshiped the beast, who have not remained as slaves of the devil. And they're pictured with perfect holiness and purity. And so he says they've not defiled themselves with women. Their mouth is blameless. No lie is found in their mouth. So inwardly, outwardly, they are perfected. They're glorified. And they are marked, it says, with the Father's name on their forehead. You'll recall last week when I was reading the previous chapter, those that followed the beast were marked with a number, or a name that was like a number, or a number that was like a name. It's a little hard to know, but anyway, it seems to be a hideous mark that was placed on their forehead, almost like a brand on their forehead or their right hand. But these 144,000 have a mark, but it's more of a seal, as it's given us in Revelation 7. It says they were sealed. And here, in fact, it speaks of their foreheads there. They were sealed on their foreheads. And here, that seal is still on their foreheads, and it's a seal rather than a mark. It's something good and preserving rather than something that is a brand, as a cattle or livestock would be branded. Another thing we might notice is this number, 144,000. Not a literal number, but it would seem to be a fixed number. It would seem to be a precise number. It would seem that it's those whose names have been written in the book of life from before the foundation of the world. And Jesus has told us that not one will be lost. None can take them out of his hand because they are predestined and called and so forth, as Paul has given it to us in Romans. And they're called the first fruits in verse 5. These have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb. And the commentary that I was reading that Pastor Barnes gave me, I'll be reading a paragraph from it shortly. It's by Hendrickson. And he suggested that first fruits here has to do with like the first fruits that the God's people offered as part of the ceremonial law. It was a sacrifice, something dedicated to God and set apart from the common, because it was the best, it was the first, it was what was given solely to God. And that's the picture given here of those who are in heaven. They are the first fruits, the dedicated to God, set apart from the world, and solely his. And then I was going to read from a little of what Paul gives us in Romans 8 as an encouragement that this number includes us if we are described here. In Romans 8, those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. It's God's election, God's preserving, God's glorifying, and there's not one who's lost along the way. The number is complete. Every soul accounted for. And then the latter part of this that I read is a scene from earth before the judgment. And it's a scene where the inhabitants of earth are warned by three angels, three last warnings. and their warning of the judgment that is to come. And I want to read what Hendrickson wrote here. He talks about the first two angels, I think. But anyway, what the third angel has to say is maybe the most remarkable. A third angel announces in very solemn language that all those who are attached to this world are going to perish with the world. If you choose to serve Satan, you must expect to suffer the consequences. You cannot sin and get away with it. The wrath of God will be visited on those who worship the beast. Here on earth, this wrath is still mixed with grace. The Lord makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. By and by in hell, when after the judgment, it seems, the wrath will be unmixed. It will no longer be a mixture of God's wrath and his grace, but just pure wrath. It will be torment with fire and brimstone. Yet so thoroughly just will this punishment be that the angels and the Lamb will acquiesce in it, and this judgment never ends. And so we have what is almost shocking to read, that in verses 10 and 11, those who are outside of Christ will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, these worshipers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. And that no rest is contrasted with the last part of what I read. It says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. The wicked have no rest. They are in turmoil, in torment forever and ever. But those who are in Christ rest from their labors, and their deeds follow them. Now let's have a time of prayer. And I'm going to be mentioning something that John mentioned to me this morning, that his youngest daughter, the application for her visa to come to the U.S. has been approved. And so now his wife and both daughters are at the same level of approval, and they can move forward to the next step, which is interviews with the embassy in Nairobi. So it's been kind of an administrative paperwork, bureaucratic thing that's caused this to be drug out. But now we're past the difficulties in getting the forms just right, and it's on to the next step. So we're thankful for God's blessing there. And I'll mention that with some other things as I pray now. So let's join together in praying. Our Father in heaven, how we shudder to think of this scene in heaven with bliss and paradise, and with inside of heaven apparently is the smoke of the torment of your enemies rising up day and night forever and ever. And we, along with the Lamb and the angels, will acquiesce in it and even see your glory manifest and your justice manifest in that. And we pray, Father, that you would have mercy to save. And you have shown us mercy. Father, we thank you for answering prayer. We thank you for answering our prayers for John and his family, and for the progress on Chuck's hand and the progress on Jody's shoulder pain. Thank you that she could be here this morning. And we thank you for the vacation that you've given the Barnes and their expectation to return this week. We ask that you would grant them safety in that traveling and refreshment in their time away. And we pray that you would enable Pastor Barnes to take up that work with us again and to serve you with all his heart. And we thank you for the medical progress that seems to be happening with Dina and the diagnosis for her and the medications she's received. And we pray that that medication would be effective and that you would grant her the strength that she desires to serve you and enable her to help Andrew in his service in ways that she desires to. And we thank you for the blessings of health that you have given so many of us. Thank you that Larry is feeling better from his illness this week. And we pray for, that's Larry Maxwell, we pray for Larry Manneman, that you would strengthen him and cause those treatments that he's getting to be effective in addressing that blood disease that he has. We pray that the outcome of Bob Dunn's treatments would be completely effective in addressing his cancer. And Father, you are the great physician, and there is not any part of our physical makeup that is a mystery to you, but it is entirely in your control. And we thank you that the fires of affliction that that seem to be often at our heels in this life will be far away from us in heaven, and that we will have rest from our labors. We praise you for the certainty of that, for the certainty of that number, and the the power you have in your predestinating decree that none will be lost, that all will be brought to salvation. So may it be as you have determined it, and bring yourself glory in the expansion of your kingdom. We pray for that expansion in this congregation, in this city, in this state, in this country, and even across the world. We praise you for indications in other parts of the world where you are moving in great ways to bring millions into the kingdom. And we long to see that in our own country, Father. We have neglected you, but may you not leave us to our sin and our rebellion and our pride and sense of autonomy. Leave us not in the devil's camp, we pray, but redeem millions in this country and revive churches that have been the devil's stronghold for decades, and bring your elect into the kingdom as at the time that you have appointed. And we ask for this particular congregation, Father, if it would please you, grant us growth in numbers and resources, that we would not be constrained in our desire to serve you, but would be able to do all that we desire in caring for our pastor and in serving you in the community, in preaching the gospel and instructing the lost in the way of life. Enable us to do these things, and even raise up from this congregation those who would serve you in throughout the world as missionaries and as pastors and teachers. You are able to do these marvelous things, Father, as no one else can. And we look to you as our sustainer and provider. Now receive our worship, we pray, and bring glory to yourself through this worship. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.